speed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki, the proprietor of the arcade, and not the proprietor of the Paisleys. They are completely independent and come here of their own voluntarium. How are you? How are you doing? This is the last This is the last Wednesday in November, and tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Day of gratitude, although every day for me is a day of gratitude, trust me, believe in that, it is the truth for me. All right, the last Wednesday in November, so the next time we meet will be on the first Wednesday in December. Isn't that a hoot? It is for me. Yep, the first Wednesday in December. And how cool is that? So here we are. That'll be December the 3rd. So there you are, and here I am, and here you are, and I hope you're having a wonderful day. Thank you for joining me. It's cold where I am. I imagine there may be some cold where you are. So on the 30th, that's in 3 days, will be the new moon. The new moon. I like the new moon. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. It's a new cycle. When I was a kid, I used to, you know, look up and say, I can see the new moon. But of course, I wasn't seeing the new moon. I thought I was. But who knows what I was seeing? Who knows what I was thinking? I don't even know what I'm thinking most of the time now. Hope you're having a good day. The world is a strange place. The truth of the matter, the world has always been a strange place. We always think that it's what it is. There are times when it seems just hunky-dory, and sometimes when it seems less than dory, and sometimes a little more hunky. Hunky is okay, I guess, if you're in a mind for hunkiness. And other times you're in a word for more dorious. Strange things are happening, and that's all right, I think. Don't you? Therefore I am? I don't know. Nonsense. Nonsense, says he. Well, I noticed that I have been a little bit overwrought lately. This is the truth. And I try not to get that way, but it does happen from time to time. I get overwrought, and I realized I haven't been meditating very much. I have not been meditating very much. So I thought I would talk a little bit today about the concept of meditation and how simple it can be and how complicated it can be. But I prefer the simple types of meditation and how it goes hand in hand with, what we do. And what do we do? Well, we kind of drift on the ether. That's right. Some people sniff ether. I don't happen to think that's a great idea. I know people who've done it. It's never been quite my type of thing, you know. But the metaphysical plane, that which we dally in, is filled with ideas about different concepts, different planes, different modalities. And all of those are kind of prerequisited by achieving a sort of a different consciousness. Now, that's a fascinating idea. The idea is achieving something different. Now, it's not that where we are isn't a great place to be, because it certainly can be a place that is wonderful, but it's normal. Now, a lot of people are normal, whatever that may be, whatever that alludes to. The normal experience, the alarm clock rings, you get up, you do whatever you do in the morning. You may get up and turn on the coffee machine, or get your Mr. Tea out and make yourself a cup of tea, or whatever it is you do. And you get ready, you go to work, you don't work, whatever it is. And you go to work with other people, you talk to other people, those other people talk to you, you make a living, you don't make a living. I mean, there's all sorts of things that people do. And normal life, even if you meditate in the morning, normal life. Life is just that thing. It's that thing that we do, that we have to do. And the concept of life is filled with normal things like getting in a car, turning on the car, driving the car, driving through traffic. How much attention do you pay to driving? That's an interesting question. I mean, I have done all sorts of things while driving in my car. Back when I was in my 30s, I used to twirl my mustache. I used to wax it and turn it into a waxed handlebar mustache. And sometimes I would look in the mirror at my mustache, and it might droop a little bit, and I would turn it back into the handlebar, and I should have been driving a little more carefully. I mean, it was ridiculous, the things that I did. And I used to light my pipe. I used to smoke a particular type of pipe called, I would rotate my pipes. I had several, and one was called an Oompaw. And it was named after someone, I guess. Maybe he played a tuba, or an oompa, that sort of thing. But that's not it. And it was very deeply curved. So it would come right out of the mouth, and it would curve immediately down. And it was this massive pipe. And I was lighting it one day while I was driving. And I had done that, and I hear this of a car next to me, and I look over, and this guy is, the window, it was cold outside, the windows were closed in my car, and no, there was not a child in it. I would not have been smoking in the car with a child. He's pointing crazily at me and screaming, and I'm thinking, what is this madman doing? And I realize he's pointing at my beard, and I think, what is he doing? And I look in my mirror, and there my beard was on fire, because I had caught my beard on fire, and instead of driving, mind you. And so, obviously, that's not a thing you want to do. So I had actually caught half of my beard on fire. I thanked him, and patted it out. And massive beard back then, and I've had massive beard for most of my life, and that's just not a great thing. I mean, that's not the kind of thing that you want to have going on, that you catch your beard on fire. So instead of shaving the other half off or whatever, I just left it that way. That's the type of lunatic I have been. But anyway, so that was driving. And so you ask yourself and today, of course, we have people who are distracted while they're driving. And so it comes about that we say something like concentration. How much do you concentrate while you drive? Or how much do you concentrate while you're reading a book? Now, if it's a good book, you're going to concentrate a great deal. There are some books that I concentrate on a great deal. I'll admit that when I read the news, I have a news feed that I read. It's actually the Apple news feed. I don't subscribe to their news feed. They want, I don't know how much it is, so much a month. That you can, won't you subscribe to this for so much a month? It's like, no, I won't. And so they you know, they have this little red thing that said, nope, can't read this, for subscribers only. And so most of it is Reddit, you know, this little red thing, you can't read this. And so what I do read, I kind of skim, because a lot of it just is not that interesting to me. And so you just kind of skim, and I don't pay that much attention. So the honest truth is that probably for a lot of things in my life, I don't pay that much attention to. So I'm asking you, how much do you pay attention to? Now, there's some things I pay very close attention to. Very close. Now, what would those be? I'm thinking. When I have a project that I'm truly interested in, I'm doing some drawing now. It's actually a kind of a comic book sort of thing. I guess you could call it that. I used to cartoon a lot when I was much younger, and I've kind of come back to it. It's something that I'm enjoying. And so I'm paying pretty close attention to that, more or less. When I play one of my rim-blown flutes, I pay attention to that because they're really hard to play, and I'm enjoying that. It's a lot of fun. And they're hard, and I like to do things that are challenging. There's a joy in that for me. One would say, well, maybe he should just focus on making music that sounds like music and not just this cacophonous garbage. But no, because I like to master things. Mastery, when I'm doing oracles. So the I Ching or Tarot or runes or whatever I happen to be into. So it's whatever it is that you choose to pay attention to, you know. So I'm asking you, what do you really put all your attention to when you do it? There's a good question, but only you can answer that. So I'm saying to you that can be a meditation. Whenever you put all your attention into something, whether it be painting or making a paper airplane or whatever it may be, that can be a form of meditation. Meditation is focus. Meditation is focus. I didn't used to be that way. I didn't used to be that loose on it. I'd say, oh, no, 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 no. Meditation has to be a mantra or a mandala or, you know, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Well, I happen to like Om Mani Padme Hum. Hail to the jewel of the lotus. Hail to the jewel of the lotus. And I like that a lot. I have prayer wheels here that I use. I like prayer wheels. I like spinning. I like the fact that human beings have been drawn to the idea of spinning. For thousands of years, they've said something about spinning really turns us on. And isn't that interesting? Because things spin in the cosmos. So the Earth spins on its axis. And it orbits around the sun, which is in fact a form of a spin. And the sun is spinning, although it's doing so as this great big ball of plasma, or plasma, as the English people say it. It's plasma. And the galaxy itself is spinning. So there's this massive, and the universe is spinning, they say, and they being the council of them. I don't know how many of them there are, but there are them. Yeah. Hopefully, one day I could be one of them. Mo, you have been chosen to be one of them. Do you accept? I do accept. By the way, Council of Them, if you are listening, I accept. I accept to be one of the Council of Them. Please, let me know when I can become one of them. And that way, whenever you say, you know what they say, someone will say, no. You say, well, they say, blah, 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 this or that. I could be one of them. And then you could get in touch with me and say, do they say this or that? And I could say definitively, yes, they do. Because I am one of them. Although I could never tell you. Because they must always be anonymous. Yes, I am full of it. Never forget that, my friends. I am full of it. Anyway, so this spinning idea, there is this wonderful concept of this repetition of a mantra. I've always found that to be quite fascinating. So in TM, for example, your teacher, your TM teacher, gives you a mantra, which is supposedly only your mantra. Well, blah, blah, blah. Get on the internet. You can read it. I was given a mantra by my teacher. And I know now that it was not unique to me. And that's fine. I don't care. It worked for me. And it works for me. And a mantra is just a sound or a word that has meaning, and NTM is in fact a spiritual paradigm, and that's fine. It was not what I was bargaining for when I went into it, but that was fine too. I was not into getting into a specific spiritual paradigm. That was not my goal. My goal was simply to learn to meditate. But when you It was very popular back in high school, when I was in high school, and it kind of swept through the country, and all these high school kids whose parents were willing to give them the money to do it, and it was rather expensive, you know, in the 70s, early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, it was like $75 for our high school student, which was outrageous at the time. And my parents said, "What?" Especially my mom, "What?" You know, it's like, wow. It was like I asked them, "Listen, I would like to have a giraffe to ride to school." It was like, what? Especially since it was like, you know, Hinduism. And they weren't overly keen on that. Well, my dad didn't care. You know, he would have said, you know, no to just about anything, because it's like, that's a phase. Because I had phases, you know, I did phases. But the idea was that eventually I learned. It took me, you know, a few years, like 30. But it was left more than that. But that's okay. That's okay. I figured it out anyway. I taught myself when I was in college, because I figured out the process. And it doesn't take that much to figure out certain processes. Meditation is not complicated. It's natural. It's a natural thing. It's based upon the concept of focus. You focus. And I'm not here to teach you to meditate. You can learn how to meditate. There are apps that can help you to meditate. One of the most powerful meditations I ever had, believe it or not, was watching Shirley MacLaine's chakra meditation tape. It blew me away. I thought I was going to melt through the earth. It was so powerful. And I was like, that's unbelievable. So I used to poo-poo such things, because I'm a poo-pooer. I used to be a real poo-pooer. I still like Chinese poo-poo platters. They're very good. But I don't poo-poo the way I used to, because I realized that, you know, when you do that, you're just cutting out so many possibilities. So it's good to do that. It's good to meditate. It's good to try things out and say, what can I learn from this? I'm not into apps anymore, because I've done many guided meditations, and I like to do guided meditations for myself. Sometimes I'll just, plan. And I used to, when I did guided meditations, and I used to do them quite a bit at 1-2 Academy. By the way, if you don't do 1-2 Academy, check into it. All you have to do is go to 1-2academy.com and look and see who's teaching what, you know. I'm not so active anymore. My life has gotten a wee bit complicated, and I hope to get back there eventually when things calm down a little. Because I enjoyed that very much. But whenever I did a guided meditation, I actually went there first and planned it out. And so that way it wasn't, I didn't like surprises when I went somewhere. So I planned it all out, and I actually went there myself and set it up. Which is, I would suggest anyone planning to do a guided meditation, do that. You don't want suddenly some creature rising up out of the hay, you know, with three horns and two eyes, or worse yet, three eyes and two horns, or something like that. But because there is something very real in those other realms, there's something very, it's genuine, it's absolute. There's something there. And that brings me to another concept to talk about. And that is that Aleister Crowley used to say, experience now and question later. That is one of the things that can happen in a meditation. Now, a meditation is generally not for these weird experiences that we can have. I remember once I was meditating, and suddenly a man walked up to me and threw a piece of string on my nose and said, "You think you know everything? Okay, figure that one out. Now go out there and get them." And I was like, "What? What do you mean?" I was startled. I opened my eyes, and of course, when you open your eyes in the middle of a meditation and you try and you're startled, but more than that, you're discombobulated, as we say. And you should never try and get up and walk around and make sense of things. That's just not what it's about. The whole point is that you need time to kind of cool off and come back to yourself, because meditating does take you to a place of deep, a meditative state. It's like another state of, alpha state, beta state, whatever. So I used to know all that. You can look it up. Look it up. You know, do your thing. But the whole point is sometimes it also takes you elsewhere. I've had some pretty amazing experiences when I was doing some, I will call it shamanic work, with my Anasazi flute. I wasn't sure that I didn't know I was going to be doing any shamanic work. I was just playing the flute. And quite suddenly, I just found myself walking in the snow at night, and came upon a bridge. And there was the bridge, and on the bridge there was etched, scratched actually, like with a nail or a piece of metal of some sort, a date. And that date I noted. I thought, well, this is really weird. It was nighttime, but I could see it because there was like a light overhead shining down on this. It was rusty, but someone had scratched this date on this bridge. And I said, wow, there's this date on here. And the date, I had to look it up. You know, of course I had to look it up, because when I came back from this place, I was like, what in the world is this? I wrote down the date and looked it up, and it blew me away, because it was something so incredibly powerfully germane to something that was happening in my life, that there was no chance that it was just luck, no chance that it was not completely and totally guided. I was taken there by an intelligence that said, Mo, you need to know this now. And I did. It was giving me a message that I needed to calm me a little bit, that I needed to ease my heart a little bit. And I needed it to tell me something that I absolutely needed to know and hear. And quite frankly, it helped me. It helped me a lot. So it was really one of those things. It's funny. I've been doing this work. I've been working in what we used to call the occult since I was a kid. I had many experiences that absolutely proved to me that this was genuine and that it was truth. But when you live in a normal world, there are things that kind of glaze it over. Time and time again, time itself will just glaze it over. So you have experiences that just absolutely shock you. And you go, holy mackerel, like the etching in the bridge, you know, the scratching of the date in the bridge. You come back and you go, what was that? How did that happen? Who took me there? How did that, I've never seen that date before. I didn't know what it alluded to. And yet it was an absolute message that I needed to see, that I needed, and I had to look it up, and it's obscure. And if it weren't for the internet today, I probably would never have discovered that. Even a good library might not have had that information. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But life has a way of just like waves coming in and love letters in the sand, so to speak. They just, you know, splash, 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 and they disappear and you forget about it. But then something comes along that absolutely stuns you again and again, and you are reminded of the veracity, of the intensity of the occult world, and how truthful it is, and more than that, how incredibly remarkable it is, and how wonderful it is to be one of us. How wonderful it is to be on the other side of that wall. To be a believer, to be a true believer. And not to be a naysayer, and not to be someone who's afraid of it, not to be someone who is trying to shut it down, and not to be someone who is burning books about it, and not to be someone who is afraid to have a Ouija board on the wall of their office, and not to be someone who is terrified of the implications of understanding that it is absolute. Not to be afraid to be someone who has a deck of tarot cards and isn't, you know, ashamed to say, yeah, I consult them from time to time. I read an article just this morning, I think it was, about Sean Lennon, John and Yoko's son, who's turning 49. Yeah, that makes me 102, you know. But Sean grew up with John and Yoko, consulting the I Ching, consulting Tarot, consulting charts. He's one of us. They were one of us, two of us. And he rebelled against it. He was looking for science, you know. But I understand that my kids grew up with me doing just that very same thing. And they really didn't, it's not that they didn't want any part of it. It's just that they didn't see the reason for it. They didn't see the need for it, you know. But when you deal with it as much as I have, you have a tendency, it becomes a part of your normal world. It becomes a part of your everyday. And I will be honest with you, I don't consult the cards that often. Why? Because I maintain this and will forever, that when you work with these energies, they become a very part of you. And so you don't need to consult them because they are a part of your life. They are a part of your energy. They are a part of your reality. So the symbols that you know so very well simply become a part of your world. I don't know if that makes sense, but once you ingest these ideas, once you ingest them in the form of the work you do, then they absolutely become a part of your psyche. They become a part of your everything. And the universe simply talks to you all the time. Now, what meditating does is it simply fine-tunes your mind by releasing a lot of the flotsam and jetsam of everyday life. You know, the garbage. I've been tense. I think part of it is the election. Even though I believe, you know, when you go eat fast food, for example, which of course, you know, yeah. But when you go and you want to get an order of onion rings, they charge $5 for it. If it's good. You're right. There's something wrong with that. We shouldn't have to pay $5 for an order of onion rings. You know, at least that's what I thought. When fast food order costs 20, you know, what, $13, $14, $15 for a burger, fries, burger, onion rings, whatever, and a drink, something is wrong. There is something definitely wrong. So there has been something wrong. So there's stuff going on. So they really can't say everything's all right. So obviously someone said, we're going to change things. That's where we are now. That's where we are now. Maybe there was chicanery. Maybe there wasn't. I'm so out of it. I'm just like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. So I've put my energies into my creativity, playing my weird flutes. I'm going to make one, make an Anasazi flute out of some PVC. I'm going to go get a 3/4 inch inner diameter piece of potable water PVC and see how that works. I like doing things like that. I like playing with the odds. You know, will it work well? Usually they do work. You know, why not? I mean, it doesn't have to be a beautiful piece of wood, although it certainly is nice when it is. But you do with what you can. See, that's the creative process. When you allow creativity to come, and meditation helps with that too. And I'm saying to you, it doesn't have to be fancy. You just find yourself some method of whatever. And if you've learned to meditate, if you haven't, it doesn't take much. I'm telling you, find your own way, you know? But what meditation does is it simply plugs you in to another modality. So does creativity. If you know how to draw, you know how to paint, you pottery, you're a pottery worker, you're whatever it may be. All it does is it changes your energetic system and allows you to connect to something other than societal stress. Really, that's kind of what it is about. It just says, okay, I'm tuning out from you, and I'm going to tune in to my thing, which I love. I love that. Because you're saying, I don't care about the societal thing for a while. Even if you say, well, we're going to Taos, or we're going to, the Vatican. I don't know why you do that, but a lot of people do. Or I'm going to Rome, or I'm going to Paris. There's a lot of things to see in this world. A lot of really wonderful things to see in this world. You know, a lot of things. So you say, I'm going to do that. And so you go. You go and you get away, and you're kind of plugging into some other aspect of something. I maintain you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay right in your house and plug into your own paradigm, your different paradigm, based upon what you have at hand. And you can do it with something else. You know, it's just that simple. You can change your energy with something else, something that you deserve, something that you want. Doesn't have to be a trip to Antarctica. Doesn't. Boy, I used to read for people in Antarctica. I've actually read for people on every continent of this globe. And it's kind of fascinating when you can say that. It's kind of amazing. But anyway, so yeah, they were not normally very happy people, I'm afraid to say. It was pretty tough stuff. But anyway, so the idea here is that When you can change your frequency, that's what it is. Like a radio station, like a radio. It's like a radio, FM radio, let's say, or AM radio. Okay, you remember AM radio back in the day, or even, I don't know if they still have AM radio, I know. But there used to be a real difference between AM radio. You know, AM radio used to be, hey there, guys and gals, how you doing? What's going on today? Blah, blah, blah. And they'd just rattle it off, you know? And then you change it over to FM, it'd be like, hey, how's it going, guys? Next, I'm going to play 45 minutes straight music, and I'm not going to talk at all. Maybe in the middle of music, I'll play a station ID, really quiet. But I'm not going to talk. You know what I'm doing right now? Scratching my beard. So here's the music. And he'd play music for 45 minutes, you know, and they'd play a station ID in the middle. this is station really cool. You know, was the, and that's what meditation is like in the middle of the world. And so find your thing, whatever it may be, and just, it's so cool. I don't know why I don't do it more. There are times when it's hard. That's the problem, is that it's so itself that sometimes it's just hard to get the energy to do it. God, that's a really crappy way to put it. It's like I'm not making time for myself because it's so something. I have to think about that. Have a little tea here. What is that? Have you noticed that there are times when we deny ourselves things that we really, really like, that we like? I'm looking at the rings I usually wear. They're both Pacific Northwest rings. I don't wear them because our puppy would chew on my hands. She's getting older, getting less completely lunar tick. But still, I can't run beads because she will chew on the beads. And I'm a bead runner. Be a good name for a movie, Bead Runner. That would be me. I mean, I literally run beads, used to, as long as I was awake. I usually had beans in my hand. That's a form of meditation as well. The whole point is to occupy part of the mind. That is what it's about. To occupy part of the mind and allow the other part to stay creative and on task with what's important. Haha. Yeah. See, there are those who would have us enslaved by what they want us to believe in. If I can put it that way. So, for example, there are those who would want us to always be paying attention to commercials on TV. So they try and steal our attention. And when in fact we should really not, I mean, what should we be paying attention to? Are the shows that good? Some of them maybe are. What should we peek at? There are shows on television that are... There's this movie out, new movie Gladiator, that they are... Good God, they're hyping it up. Oh, my Lord. Hype, 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 hype. Unbelievable hyping. And it's violent beyond comprehension. I mean, they're talking about it on morning TV. And there's this scene, you know, they're showing this incredible scene where it's going to be unbelievably violent and bloody. And they show this CGI rhinoceros and it's covered with gore. And it's like, why do you force this poor creature? I know it's not real, but to kill people. And it's like, why do I want to watch that? You know? Why am I supposed to get happy feelings from watching this sort of violence? Do I really want that? You know, especially since, do you know what the fall of the Roman Empire was due to? I took the rise and fall of the Roman Empire in college. And I really had no idea why the Roman Empire fell. They believed the Roman Empire fell because they had lead plumbing and they ate on lead plates and drank out of lead cups and goblets, used lead silverware, and used lead based cosmetics. And that made them crazy. It drove them mad and poisoned them. And that's the truth. That is the belief of why the Roman Empire fell, because it made them insane and poisoned them, killed them. The same is true of Queen Elizabeth. She had lead poisoning. And you think to yourself, so here are these people who were some of the most bloodthirsty people on ever, with the Colosseum and thumbs down and this and that. And we're glorifying them in this movie that is number, you know, the second of these. And it's like, why are we... I don't know. I'm not that big. I don't like violence. I didn't used to mind it. No, it's not true. I never liked it, you know. I never saw the, you know, I like a good scary movie, but I don't like a slasher movie. I just don't. It's not never been my thing. So I don't get the violent aspect of it, but we're this culture, we're glorifying this movie. This is going to be great. These three people on the morning TV show where they're glorifying this movie. Oh, you got to go see this movie. It looks wonderful. And they're having the stars of it on there and talking about, this is wonderful. How was it like playing this guy? And it's like, what are we doing? How do we glorify this ickiness of these crazy people who... Why don't we glorify something else? Like love and peace. We don't. So that's the culture that wants your attention to sell Christmas presents, you know, to sell pop, you know, sodas, and to sell, you know, diamond rings. You know, there, we're going to sell these diamond rings. So we're going to sell someone who's cutting up things, people and animals. Really? People and animals. I saw a horrible scene where these incredible baboons, you know, these terrifying baboons, I think they were baboons, are fighting these gladiators. And it's, you know, it's going to be terrible, you know, with the animals screaming and hurting. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to see that. And this is a Christmas movie. It's like, oh, wow, far out, man. You know, this is what we watch. And then there's this commercial about family and Thanksgiving and warm and fuzzies. And I'm like, what sort of society is this? Don't we need to meditate? Don't we need to change our frequency? Because these are the people who are trying to talk us into everything. So we need to change our frequencies. And that means doing anything we can not to be sucked into the whirlpool that these people are trying to suck us into, which is every moment of every day, any way they can. I'm on Facebook. I have a Twitter X page that I started literally, God, it has to be, what, 20 years ago? And I can't delete it. I tried to delete it, but I can't because I can no longer verify because I no longer have the phone number. I no longer have the website I used to have. So it's stuck in eternity. I would love to get rid of it, but I tried to delete it and they won't delete it. So that's stuck. But I do have a Facebook page, and the ads they send me are so stupid and ridiculous. And I realize these are all bots, you know, it's not even real anymore. But so we have to maintain our frequencies. I'm just going to put it that way. We have to know what we want and maintain our sanity somehow. And I think that we do that through our interests. We do that through our concentration and through our sanity and through what we find interesting. Because if we let them constantly tell us what's interesting, we're going to have problems, you know? I like kinky, not kinky. Stop right there. I mean, maybe, but I'm telling you, I like strange, out of the ordinary things. Like there's a thing called the Admiral Fitzroy weather forecaster. It's off the beaten track. It's a glass container. It's got a solution in it with chemicals. And I like it because they don't know why it works. And these chemicals they're not poisonous. You wouldn't want to drink them, you know, but it's kind of cool because if certain weather comes around, they crystallize. If certain weather comes around, they kind of look like snowflakes. And Charles Darwin had one on his trip to the Galapagos Islands, and he used it, and he kept notes about it. And I had one, but it leaked, and I didn't like that, so I had to get rid of it. I haven't gotten another one yet. They're not expensive. I actually have some eyeglass solution that I made, and it does the same thing. It changes with the weather, but I'm not sure how it does what when, so I haven't, you know. But I'll probably get another Fitzroy. Admiral Fitzroy, it's Fitzroy, Admiral Fitzroy weather forecaster. Just look it up. Some call it a barometer. It's not exactly a barometer. I like weather. I like barometers. I have a great barometer. It's a barometer. Good barometer is also an altimeter. Weather is fascinating stuff because it's nature. It's elemental forces. Things like that can really, kind of be fun. See, we are different. When we get together with our families, don't you kind of find yourself sitting there going, I can talk to them, but they don't get me. They don't get me. They never have. Maybe they never will. I love them. But they just don't get me. That's okay, though. But we have to handle our little world. Because if we don't, trust me, no one is going to. I like strange little stuff. Things that aren't like other things. Like I was saying, prayer wheels. I love this concept of an item that can be used in a meditative sort of way. Here's a prayer wheel, and inside of it, it has Omani Padme Om written in Tibetan, the Devanagari script, right? 10,000 times, so that every time I spin it, as I'm spinning it now, 10,000 blessings of this mantra are being sent out. It's noisy. It is so noisy. But I like that. And when you've been doing this for an hour, believe me, you're gone, man. Now, I've got one that's nice that has ball bearings in it. And it's very quiet. And man, it spins like crazy. And if you get online, you can find some beautiful ones. They're wooden. And they spin like crazy, and they have like microfilm in them, and so they're like millions of prayers every time you spin it around, and they're gorgeous, and you can carry them with you, and I've always thought, man, it'd be kind of cool to have. They're like $300-$400, and I can't afford that. I got this one at a Tibetan store in Boulder, years ago. I bet almost 40 years ago. And it came from Nepal, I'm sure. And it's dented at the top. It was dented when I bought it. And that's fine. I like this one. It likes me. Omani Padme Om. I've got another one on this desk somewhere. And things like that. I mean, my desk looks like it's something out of a museum. And sitting on this desk is Mickey Mouse, a Mickey Mouse Halloween thing that my daughter gave me. You know, you keep things that remind you, hence the name Memento, you know. A souvenir, a reminder, souvient from the French. Things that remind you of things. It's about life. It's about your life. We are creatures. You see, in everyone, everything that you find, does something to your mind. I have here in the 80s, I was a big Rubik's Cube guy, and I solved it. Took me a long time. I don't know how long. And then I bought every puzzle that came out.
There was one called Alexander Star, and there was stellate dodecahedrons, and you name it, I bought it. And there was one that was a barrel, and I never solved it. I don't know if I lost interest. Here it is. 50 years later, whatever it's been, 40 years later, I leave it here on my desk, and I don't play with it. It just sits here, not taunting me, but reminding me of that time when I was completely enamored with these things. And I can play with it now if I want, but I'm not going to do that. But here it is. I leave it here because it reminds me of a time. And I have a box downstairs with all of these puzzles, three-dimensional puzzles that you put together that were see-through. And I love these things, and I still do. And when I die, my wife will say, I'm going to throw these all away. You know, they're probably worth, I don't know if they're worth anything or not. But we are a sum total of our quirks. We are a sum total of those things that make us who we are. I look over at, I have a whole bookshelf that is half filled with books, and a couple of shelves are dedicated to curios that I have, things that are important to me, you know. I've got a magic eight ball that's out of fluid. The fluid drains out of them after a while, and I want a new one, I suppose. I looked up how to put fluid back into it, but it's such a pain in the butt, I decided not to do it. But the first oracle I ever had that caught my eye, because I tried cards in the beginning, but it was a magic eight ball. I never had one until I was an adult, when I bought one at Target, as a matter of fact. And that's it, you know, because I never had one of my own. You find things that resonate with you, with who you are. At the very top is a little sculpture of a whale that my dad picked up in Alaska when he was doing research on whale kidneys and whale eyes. Actually, it was whale eyes. He picked up a kidney because he wanted to do some research on them. They were gigantic. It took up a whole table. But he had to beg these parts off of the Inuit because he was a veterinarian. He was doing veterinary research on whale eyes. And they were happy to give it to him because they liked him. And so he and a colleague went up there and talked to them. They were billionaires, these Inuit, because they had these mineral rights. And they would sit in these longhouses and literally chew the fat, muktuk. They would chew muktuk. And I look at that whale every day, and I think of my dad. And he brought that back. And I don't know what it reminds him of, but it sure reminds me of him. I have a couple of Hawaiian gods up there, and because you can't put them anywhere but at the top of a shelf. And things, our lives, each one is an energy. Each one is an energetic reminder of something. That's what we are. My wife thinks I'm a hoarder. I'm not a hoarder. Stuff I don't like, I get rid of. But stuff that is important to me, that moves in a particular way, it's something that makes me laugh, that my daughter gave me, you know, makes me laugh. See, that's what life is about. Meditation does that too. I'm just saying, we are very specific creatures, and we have to do what makes things good for us. Surround yourself with those things that are good for you. Surround those things, yourself with those things that support you. Meditation is one of those things. Music is one of those things. I listen to a lot of Grateful Dead because it reminds me of a time that wasn't always easy. I wasn't dating when I listened to the Grateful Dead. No. I never knew a girl who liked the Grateful Dead. So it's not about that. But it was about the music. It was about the fact that I understood them. My first year in California, my year in California was a lot about the Grateful Dead. The people that I met there knew them. They understood them completely. I had a lot of friends in Colorado who loved the Dead and traveled around listening to them. And they got me through COVID, listen to their music, understanding it. I mean, I'm just saying, find what it is that works for you. And don't let any of these times or any of the strangeness that's upon us drag you down. And remember the one thing that I say over and over again, you're not alone. These are actually beginning to become good times. But they have to be good times for you by making them that way. Okay? Okay. It's just that simple. Take charge of your life. No one else is in charge of your life. You are. All right? Okay, happy Thanksgiving. Be grateful for who you are. That's the most important thing to be grateful for. And the people in your life. And the fact that you are alive. And your health. Whatever you have of it, be grateful for. I find things out all the time. I'm old. Find out a few things here, find out a few things there. But I am so grateful for what I have. You have no idea. I'm grateful that I have you. I do love you very much. And I'll talk to you next week. Until next week, peace and love, my friends. Talk to you later.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.